Now in chapter 3, we see the beginning of the building. Verse 1, then Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah. And that, by the way, is where Abraham had offered Isaac. And then down that ridge right outside the city of Jerusalem, on that same ridge is Golgotha, the place of a skull where Jesus was crucified. Now, we're told here's where he built the temple, where the Lord appeared unto David, his father, in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now, David had bought this parcel of ground there. It's the temple area today, and there is where he built the temple. This was to be the place. Now, we have here, and I'm not going to go into much more of the details because, very frankly, to my judgment, it's as boring as a blueprint or the list of building supplies that go into any building that is to be put up. But I do want to say that out of this we can cull certain great truths that you will not find mentioned, for instance, in Kings or anywhere else. Now, when we come here to chapter 3, we find now as he begins to build, and I'll just lift out certain things. Now, these are the things wherein Solomon was instructed for the building of the house of God. This is verse 3. The length by cubits after the first measure was 60 cubits, and the breadth 20 cubits. Now, it's twice as large as the tabernacle was, 60 cubits by 20. And that translated into feet would be approximately 90 feet by 30 feet. Now, that is the temple proper. Now, you must understand around it, there were many buildings that were put up. I have here in the picture of the model, I have the buildings that were put around the temple. And there were quite a few of them that were put around the temple. I have many slides that I took and some I bought of this particular area, and it was quite imposing when you put all the buildings together. But the temple proper was only twice as large as the tabernacle. Now, there's certain things here that we need to call attention to. Some of them we've had before and some we have not. Verse 13, the wings of these cherubims spread themselves forth 20 cubits, and they stood on their feet, and their faces were inward. Now, these were the cherubims that looked down on the mercy seat. Now, you will recall that back in the tabernacle, when Moses was given instructions that no measurement was given at all. This speaks of deity. You can't measure. This is something you can't put on a slide ruler. Therefore, what we have here is something I think that's rather impressive, that the cherubims now must have been much larger than they were in the tabernacle, and of course they were. But even with the measurements given, there is a sense and a note of deterioration, and that is they're attempting now to measure deity. That cannot be done. Now we have our attention called to some things that were not in the instructions given back in Kings. Now, again, I call your attention to this. It's important. We're seeing God's viewpoint. Now, what is it that God called attention to here that in the human account we did not have the record given? Well, we have here the beauty of the veil given. Notice verse 14. And he made the veil of blue and purple and crimson and fine linen, and wrought cherubims thereon. Now, the veil was a thing of beauty. It was said that by the time of our Lord, that it was about 3 inches thick. It was changed every year. And that wild horses were tied to one of them that had been taken down on one occasion, and they could not tear it. They could not rip it at all. It was actually a thing of beauty. And the veil speaks of the humanity of Christ. God calls attention to that. This is something he calls attention to. Now, that veil speaks of the humanity of Christ. When Christ was crucified, the veil in the temple was rent in twain. Now, this is long before he came to this earth. This is the Lord saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Now, notice something else that we have here, I think that we should call attention to, and that's the pillars. Now, here in verse 15, "And also he made before the house two pillars of 30 and 5 cubits high, and the chapter that was on the top of each of them was 5 cubits. Now, this meant that these pillars went up very high, and that is something that this model is taken into account. And these pillars are very high as to the size of the building. Almost seems out of proportion, by the way. Now, these pillars speak of strength and beauty, and God calls attention to that. Those are two things that man thinks that he attains, strength and beauty. We are a great nation, and yet we can't maintain law and order. Artists are supposed to go for things of beauty, have an eye for beauty. Well, have you looked at modern art? Well, my daughter majored in that, and she took me to a display of the works. It was not what you would call, I suppose, a show or anything like that. Well, she just took me through the classroom to show what they were doing. And she'd say, "Dad, isn't that beautiful?" Well, I tell you, I didn't want to misrepresent how I felt, but I couldn't say it was beautiful. I could say, "My, I haven't seen anything like that." And I want to tell you I hadn't. Now, God is interested in strength and beauty. Those are very impressive.